interesting, the sugya that we want to learn today, ostensibly as
Bilha. Right. Well, it's the end of it, you know. Exactly. It's all about Pesachor.
In fact, this could be relevant to the end of the Megillah, the end of the Sech Megillah. But that's not what it's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
The Gemara quoted Rabbi Yirmiya, or Rabbi Bar Abba, to the effect that there's something called Samach Nidiria, which Gemara is going to pick up a little bit later on. Now that we quoted Rabbi Yirmiya and Rabbi Bar Abba, we want to quote something else from Rabbi Yirmiya. This is like a tradition of Chavivus of the Masorah.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting because today it became more stylish that Talmid Chacham get more of a feel of history, you know, when the different tkufas were. In my day when we were kids, we weren't they didn't develop any sensitivity to history. But here, I mean, you see that we want to know schools of thought. I wonder if I'll be Jewish, you could show that there's some connection between a different Mahmorim. Okay, so let's see what we're up to. If you count up here at that base on the base, three lines up from the bottom, the Omar of Yirmiya, the Itamer of Chia. You have it?
Yeah.
Itamer of Chia bar Abba, Matzapach, Sofim, Amor.
Back from our subscriber.
Great, thank you so much. So we're here on the Daf Beis and the Beis, three lines up from the bottom. Matzapach. So we'll get back to this idea of tzofim, who these tzofim are, in just a minute. But first, in terms of matzapach, Rashi writes Kefel Osios. So these are the letters of the alphabet that can be written in two ways, depending upon whether in the middle of a word or at the end of the word. And the Seder here is very important. It says Matzapach. Now notice that Matzapach is certainly not the order in the Osios of the Aleph page, because then the Chof would be first, and then the Mem and the Nun, and then the Pei and the Tzadi. So the tzadi would be the last letter. That's the last letter in the alphabet of these five letters. So what is the seder that the Gemara is so careful about when it writes Matzapach? So it's very interesting that Rashi at the end of the daf says Tzofim Amarum Nevi'e Hadoros. Now, what is Rashi trying to emphasize here when he says Nevi'e Hadoros? The word Sofim, as we'll soon see, is Nevi'e, and Bidoros, or Hadoros. So the answer might be that it wasn't one specific Navi at one specific point in time that introduced all these five letters, but rather these five letters were introduced over the course of time. And that's what Rashi wants to emphasize in the Nevi'e Hadoros. So the Vilna Gaon says that, let's say, the earliest Nevi'im who were part of this group that added letters were the ones that introduced the Mem, and in later Nevi'im would introduce the Nun, and then the Tzadi. So these five letters were introduced in that specific order historically over the course of time. That's what Matzapach. However, there's a Tosfos in the Masechet Shabbos, in the Sugya Meleches Kosei, and there he writes that the Seder of Matzapach is an Otrikun. And an Otrikun is, you take apart the word Matzapach and you split it into two. And the first two letters form the word Man, and then the Tzapach are the beginnings of the word Sofim. So it's Min Hat Sofim. That's Tosfos in the Masechet Shabbos. So again, there are three possible ways and meanings that the Gemara could have had in mind when it said Matzapach in that order. One is to say Seder Osios Aleph. That's absolutely incorrect, because then it would start with the letter Chav. The second possibility is the Gaon, which the Vilna Gaon wants to say that Rashi emphasizes the Nevi'ei Doros, because this took place over a period of many, many different generations, like different Nevi'im, and the first letter that was added to the Aleph was the letter Mem, Tzad, and so on. And finally, the third way of understanding the Seder of Mantzapach is that it's two words, and Mim, Sofim. Now, Tzofim Amarum, the Tzofim told us about these letters. Now, what does the word Tzofim mean? So for that, you have to open up two psukim in Tanakh. One is in Shmuel, and there it says, Vayhi ish echad min amarasayim Tzofim. And the word Tzofim means the veil. The other one, just give one more pasuk here. Kol Tzofayich nasu kol is a pasuk in Yishayon. Yeah. Since we're saying that it means Tzofim, right? So the mem at the end would be Right. 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 It's a
shela shali, but I mean, Sofim. In other words, yes, like so. I'm not sure how much it comes out. So I'm not sure. I have to look in Tosfos in the Shabbos. The footnote here that says Nirmas Sofim Amorum Min Sofayich.
Tosfos and Nirmas Sofayich. Ah, Sofayich. Chofim is possessive, like your Levim.
Sofayich.
That's a film shallah.
Okay.
So again, according to the Gaon, let's just re-emphasize, because it's a very important point here, the sugya, that these letters were given over the course of time. They were developed one, and then another, then the other, all five letters. Now the Ritva says something here which I don't fully understand. I'm just throwing it out there because I'm hoping that by the time we finish this sugya, we'll understand what the Ritva is in mind. And he says that these Nevi'im were alive after the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, because during the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, the Aron, which had the Shtei Luchos HaBris inside of it, was gadus, it was hidden. And the reason we thought that this is post Gnizas Ha'aron is because otherwise we can look at the Luchos and we'll see as the Gemara goes along that Mem and Samach are in the Luchos, and we would be able to tell what the Mem looks like, right? The first letter of Matzapach is the Mem. So that it must be that if there's some confusion about the letters in again, the Ritva is laying down the following premise, if I understand correctly, that at one point in time, way before the Sofim, it must have been known to Klal Yisrael about the existence of these, what's called Osio Sofios, because of what they could see in the Luchos HaBris.
Aren't the letters of the Torah written as it was?
Right, the Torah was written much later on. It's only at the time of Kabbalah's Torah, all they had was the Luchos. Later on, also over the course of a period of time, Moshe
had to write that.
That's called Megillos.
Right? Didn't each king have to?
The writing is different.
But they might have the letter. I mean,
the letter.
Right, so again, what we're going to see. Again, you're going to have to go very slowly on this sugya. It's a very profound sugya, and essentially has nothing to do with Masechta Megillah. But what we're going to have is that in the Torah itself, there may have been one particular tradition, and the question is going to be, how do we relate the Nevi'im and the Matzapach to the tradition that they had in the Sefer Torah? And let's go slowly. So first, the first question we want to ask is the following. When the Nevi'im, when they instituted the Matzapach, what did they institute? Did they institute the small letters that are in the middle of a word? Because what we had was the Sofios, we have these five letters at the end of a word. Or on the contrary, they introduced the Sofios, the last words. I'm sorry, the last letters in the word. But what we had already before the Nevi'im was these letters in the middle. And the Rishonim here in this Sugya vacillate back and forth on this question. What exactly did the Tzolfim Amrum, did they say the Osios in the middle, the small letters, which are otherwise called Sukkos, that's in the middle of the letter, or did they introduce the Osios Stumos, which are the Sophios at the end of a word? Now, in order to appreciate these two possibilities, we have to see how the Gemara objects to Rabbi Yirmiyah. And the Gemara suggests two different kashas, two different objections. The first objection, which is based on the principle that appears all over the place and is derived from a pasuk at the end of Parashas Mishpatim, it could this not possibly be so? Vayrek Siv, it says in the pasuk, Eila HaMitzvos, Asher Tziva Hashem es Moshe El Bnei Yisrael Bar Sinai, and Chazal Darshim on this. On this pasuk, it's a
sefrah,
that what it means is that these are the mitzvahs. And that's it. You can't add anything to the Torah itself. Ein Novi Rashoi L'Chadish Dor Me'ach. So the Torah was given through Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and it's impossible for the Nevi'im to add anything. So how could it be that the Nevi'im add the Osios meaning the Matzapah? Now, again, just hold your judgment for a while, because we're going to have to see how this Takanos HaNevi'im affects Halacha. Do you follow my point? There's ain't Rabbi Yashoy L'Kashit Dover Me'ata. I mean, the Nevi'im can say a lot of different things, but they can't change Halacha.
In the Lachadish Dover means the Halacha, and this one is a Pach, is Halacha, and you'll soon see that's Halacha in two different areas.
In Hilchas Shabbos, and that's why this Suya is really a grafted Suya from Shabbos. There's a whole, well, not a whole parak, but half a parak, the 12th parak of Shabbos is dedicated to the Halacha of Ksiva. And there, the Gemara analyzes what happens. Yes. Let's say, for example, if he intended on Shabbos to write the word Shimon, and instead of writing Shin Mem with a Mem Psucha, he wrote Shimon with a Mem Stuma, which would normally be at the end of a would it be carried from Aleches Kosev? A very profound sugya would take us months to go through that sugya. So just on a very superficial level, that's one in. And that's going to be get to a Chiyuv Skila for violating the Shabbos. What's the status of these two mems? Now, the relevancy is also, as you said before, in terms of writing a Sefer Torah. How do we write a Sefer Torah? The Shimon is a word, is a name in the Torah. And how do we write the mem of Shimon? Is it a mem Sufa? Is it a mem Stuva? Now, at this point, the Gemara invokes the principle of Eina Novi Yashoy L'Chadish Badover Me'ata, which means that whether or not, it matters not whether the statement of Rav Yirmiyah was that the Chiddush of the Nevi'im was Stumos or Psuchos. Either way, it's going to change the Halacha, because it's going to have an impact, number one, on whether or not Yechai from Lechus Kosei, and number two, whether or not the Sefer Torah is kosher or possible. Now, in order to appreciate why the Sefer Torah would be possible in the Gemara's kasher, what we have to know is that basically the writing of the Sefer Torah and the requirements thereof fit into two different categories. One category is based on the halacha of Uksavtem. The last two words in the Uksavtem, which again is referring to mezuzah, but we learn a lot of the halacha of Sefer Torah from mezuzah, is tam. And that requires what's called a ksiva tama. Ksiva tama means that the Torah upgrades the level, the requirements of ksiva with regard to a sefer Torah. Which means that you could have something that might constitute ksiva, In other areas, halacha, for example, Melech HaShabbos, or for that matter, writing a get, where it says in the Pasuk, "Kasam LaSefer Krisus," so that the letters would be fine from the perspective of what I call universal ksiva, b'chol Torah kula. However, because it says uksavten ubeinon ksiva tamo, we upgrade the requirements of ksiva with regard to Sefer Torah. And what might be fine for Meleches Kosev or for writing a get would not be okay for writing a Sefer Torah. That's number one. So that's called Ksiva Tama, and that's what we call a Din Miyuchad, meaning a special Din in Sefer Torah. However, as far as Ksiva in Kol HaTorah Kula for get or for writing on Shabbos, there you need what's called Suras HaOsius. You need the shape of the letters. Now, if let's say he changes a psucha to a stuma, vice versa, the big issue in the Gemara in Habonim, the 12th Parakah of Shabbos, is does that mean he changed the Tzuras HaOsius?
Okay.
Because again, you can still read a mem as a mem, even if you find it to be a stuma. Again, you might have to, add a little bit of extra energy, to figure out why is he writing Shem, the Shimon with a mem stuma when it's in the middle of a word, okay? But we can figure out if we rack our brains, we'll figure out that the meaning of that letter is mem. So is that called the Shini Tzuras HaOsius? So the Gemara goes back and forth. The Gemara says that in Sefer Torah, for sure you would require a kpeda on writing a psucha in the middle of a letter and a stum at the end of a letter. When I say letter, I mean a word. So you'll know that whenever I say letter, I mean a word. So that's for sure because the requirement of ksiva tav, tav mem he. Shalem. Actually, I didn't pronounce it right because here the Sephardic pronunciation it's Miller not Miller L. Anyway, so but we, the Ashkenazim say Tam, that's the Yeshivish way of saying it. So here's the key of keys. What we have to keep in mind is that in the discrepancy between universal ksiva and Kol Torah Kula and the requirements of ksiva because of ksiva Tam and Sefer Torah, in that extra that's only the chatchila. So what's important for us to know is that the requirement of ksiva tama is almost again. We really have to know sugya. So what I'm telling you might be total ignorance, but it's really a kind of zekei v'aveir halacha. Not exactly, because it's more than zekei v'aveir. Zekei v'aveir is just the way you want to embellish the mitzvah. It's very subjective. But what it means is that in Sefer Torah, we're going to want to embellish the Sefer Torah. And in Hilchos Sefer Torah, there's going to be a requirement to write a ksiva tam. But it's not a kuva. It's not critical. As long as we fulfill the basic universal definition of ksiva, which means two as a osios. And the Gemara there in Shabbos vacillates back and forth about psucha in the middle, at the end of a word, or a stuma in the middle of a word, is that called a shinui, a change in the two associates? Then afkamina would be, what's the status of that on Shabbos? Is he chayav for ksiva on Shabbos? Or, for example, would the get be kosher? So there's no question about it that this is a shinui, and in Hilchos Ksiva Tama, as far as Sefer Torah is concerned, he would have to be very careful about that and not put a sophios in the middle of a word like Shimon. But on the other hand, it's not likuva. If I assume that it would be kosher, called Tarkula, who constitutes and qualifies ksiva under the law of Shinui Tzuras HaOsios. And Mark actually initially Mark thinks that writing a mem sophis in the middle of a word is not undermine what the Tzuras HaOsios, and therefore in Sefer Torah would be kosher. That was the initial understanding. The final maskana of Gemara is that no, that even in universal ksiva, called Tarkula, you must not change, you can't switch a psucha for a stuma vice versa. That's what the shinui osia, so that would possibly say for Torah. Now, let's for argument's sake, again, this is very complicated, but let's assume that our sugya at this point maintains the maskana sugya. in Shabbos, again, as I say, more vassals back and forth, that changing the osios would qualify as a shinui tsuras ha'os. If that be the case, what's the status of a Sefer Torah? If you wrote a mem stuma in the middle of the word Shimon, it would be possible. In that case, then the Sofer, by adding the mem stuma, well, for that matter, by adding the mem psucha, remember I told you before that Rishonim vacillate back and forth. What exactly did Sofer add? Did they add the psucha, the stuma? In this context of Ein Novi Rashai L'Chadish Novi, it's irrelevant. Because once there are two letters, whether they added this one or that one, if that constitutes a Shina and Tzuras HaOz, then all the Sifrei Torah. Like, right? Again, and you'll have different examples. You know, if you had an example where the psucha was written at the end of a word, or stuma in the middle of a word, those would be psula. So, in other words, there's a tremendous halachic change here that's going on as a result of the Nevi'im. And that is a violation of Ein Novi Rashoi L'Chadish B'Dover Ad. On the side, by the way, you know, I asked my younger sisters, what is taking them? So they're all very clever. They learned this when they were in third grade. Tishmi Yitari, it's Kushas Ha'amayas. So I tell them that's not what the word taking means. Taking means let it stand, meaning we can't answer the question. Now that Tishri Yitari, it's crucial advice, is very problematic. Because Tishri is a reference to Elio. Tishri Elio is going to answer all that questions. So, for example, we don't know whether Yeshua Das Havieh Shalom, possibly we possibly like Abaye the Yeshua Das Lo Havieh, but whatever it is, Tishri Yitari, it's crucial advice. Now, what does that mean? So, let's say, for example, you lost an object and we don't know whether you have to return it or not. Like, for example, Safik Yidua, you know, Simonos and Doris, whatever it might be. So then, if Eliyahu HaNavi would come, I'll keep the Vua, and he would tell me that this object that you found belonged to John, you'd have to return it to John. That makes sense. But that Tishbi Yitari is Kushas Vabayas. Kushas Vabayas doesn't mean I don't know who to return it to. I don't know who lost it. Who's the real owner? Kushis Vavayas means we have issues. We have a statement that Yeshua Das Law of Yeshua, we have a kasha, we don't know how to answer that kasha. Here you might get into issues because with all due respect to Elio, you know, you can convince me that Elio was Elio Lomes, and he was the greatest Novi after Moshe, and you tell me whatever you want, but it's so Novi. And no Novi is not a change in the view of Moshe, it doesn't have any impact whatsoever on Allah. So when you say Deku, be careful what you mean by that. Elio and Novi is also Elio Achav. And he will have his own base, he will determine halacha based on his chacha, not because of the vua, not because God revealed it to him in the prophet, in a prophetic dream. Chas v'shalom, that the prophetic dream could have any impact on halacha. But what he means is that Elio HaNavi will be the Av Bez, the Nasi Yilol, the great cadre of scholars, and in a halachic vein, they'll come to certain decisions. Who knows? Maybe they'll pass it like Beit Shammai against Beit Zubin. We don't know. Right?
If you want to answer things up, you should ask. It should have been Moshe. If you're going to make the abbreviation to say Tishbi, it should have been Moshe. Yavoh.
Well, I think it won't be Moshe because Moshe is there.
So that was
who's
there all the time.
Right.
In every generation.
Right. So whatever generation he has to make, this is way before the basis. All these determinations are lost. You have to know exactly the sequence of these different sheets now, whether Mashiach is coming after Tzvias Nesa, before Pasha is going to come before the Nesa.
My love.
Okay. In any event, but now the Gemara asks the second kasha, and at this point, in the second kasha, I think we're going to be able to figure out. I'm hoping. What exactly did the Nevi'im add? Did they add the psuchos, or did they add the stumos? Because in the first kasha, the one that we just learned, Ein Novi Rashi, it makes no difference. Whichever way they added, it would still be a violation of this principle. But here's the second kasha of the Gemara. And this is based on a statement of Rav Chisda. And we're about to turn the page. But before we turn the page, let me make two points here. Point number one is that the Gemara quotes the pasuk Eila HaMitzvos. The word Eila is always a mid. Whenever you see the word Eila, Eila V's on the mitzvos and nothing else. And that's what it means, Ein Navi Rashoi. Eila V'lachiros. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was the Navi who created, as my Rebbe used to always say, the Chefetz Shel Torah. Any nevuah that has an impact on the Torah as a Chefetz Shel Torah is impossible. It's completely excluded. And a Navi cannot have any impact. That's point number one. Point number two. Basically, a Navi has two functions. The first function of a Navi is to give us ethical strength. And the second function of a Navi is to clarify how we should go about doing mitzvahs.
Right. Okay.
So, for example, the Torah says, V'halachta b'drach, you have to imitate God. This is called imitatio Dei, right? Mahurach u'mafatorah. Well, tell me what God is all about. How do I know what God is all about? So here the Nevi'im are going to give us an insight into divinity, and that's relevant to know how we can improve ourselves at some time. But if a Navi would come along and he would paskin halacha, and he says, I got a Nevi'ah from Hashem, that's a violation of this principle of Ein Navi Rishon. That's not his function.
But if it's a Nevi'ah, it's clarifying, like there are halacha, where you have a look at them. If they're clarifying that can't be.
They can't tell them that in this one, Moshe Rabbeinu would pass like a buy against Rome. The Navi has no power whatsoever to say such a thing. Lo b'shamayim, exactly. Even a basketball is not wrong. That's all suitable for seal. But I wanted to add something else. He quotes in the footnote here in Marsha, and Marsha says that there are two psukim in the Torah that start with the words Eila HaMitzvah. One is in Parshas Mishpatim. Okay, that's the one that we have in our Gemara. But he says there's another psukim in Sefer Bamidbar. And this is actually the very last pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar. In Perikah Mitzvah, it says Eila Mitzvos Vamishpatu. It's a little bit different than the pasuk in Mishpatu. Hashem Tziva Hashem, and here it says Biyad Moshe Estimei Yisrael Biarvos Moav Al Yarden Yirechem. And he writes that if you only have the pasuk here, we'd have to take out a chumash. When I said it, you don't have to understand my strange language. My wife of 3 years trying to understand the way I speak. But when I meant to say we have to take out a chumash, I meant to say you take it. I didn't want to be so bold about it. But in any event, the Marsha builds a lot on the following premise. She says that if you take a look at the end of Sefer Bamidbar for a second, okay, in Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, and there the context is Gnosis Lavcha. Now I'm beginning to regret that I took on this Marsha because it's way beyond the purview of our discussion. And just to make life simpler for myself, the Marsha holds the following, that the whole thrust of the parasha of Gnosis Lavcha is to teach us that Moshe Rabbeinu, and only Moshe Rabbeinu, determined Allah. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu, because of his special status as what we call a Chefetz Shel Torah, that's one of the Yud Gimel Ikru, Is it at the end?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's saying the following question. After this pasuk is relevant to our saying of Ein Novi Reshoi. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu took the question back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, received the answer with the Tosfot that had a claim to the land. And in doing so, what mechanism is Moshe Rabbeinu using to determine our loss? What's the agency? When he goes back to Hashem to get the answer, what's that called? When you go to Hashem to get the answer? Nevuah. That's called Nevuah. So what's going on with him? The answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what the Pasuk means when it says, exactly, that this is a special high fire. Rav Salvation always tells that the difference between Moshe and all the other Nevi'im is not quantitative, it's qualitative. You can't even put Moshe Rabbeinu and all the other Nevi'im in the same category. So the point of the Marshal is that his pasuk Eila Hamitzvos, Moshe, is in a sense out of place. Why? Because back in Parshas Mishpatim, it makes sense for the Torah to say Eila Mitzvah Shetziva Hashem as much, because that follows Kabbalah Satorah. Why did the Torah add this Eila Mitzvah after Benos Tzlav? It's really out of place. It doesn't belong at the end of the Sefer Bamidbar in Parshas Masah, but really it belongs where? It belongs in Parshas Mishpatim after Naaseh V'Nishmah. So the Marshal says that's what the Gemara has in mind here, that the Torah went out of its way to write Eila Mitzvahs at the end of Parshas Masah, in order to tell you that just like the halachic decision and response to Tzlofcha, the Tzlofcha had to come through the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and exclusively Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what the Torah means by saying Eila HaMitzvos, and Eila means Asher Tziva Hashem Biad Moshe. It's almost as if the Torah at the end of Bar Midbar is closing the entire episode of Eila HaMitzvos. Again, this is not so, because there are many mitzvahs that appear in Sefer Dvarim that we don't have in the but officially, if I can use that term, officially Sefer Dvarim is called Mishnah. So the end of the Torah itself as a body of halacha is the end of Sefer Bamidbar with the Benos Tzlofcha situation, Hilkos Nachas, and Biyad Moshe. And what the Torah wants to tell you is that only Moshe has a right to use the Nevuah to interpret the halacha, but no other Navi can do so.
Actually, maybe it's more appropriate that one from talking, because even Moshe Rabbeinu, if he were to come back, couldn't go at any more now. I mean, his Nevuah doesn't count anymore to add Mitzvot now, too, because now it's complete.
Right, but, so maybe but the Gemara wants to derive the very basic principle that it's beyond the purview or the function of a Navi.
Of any Navi now.
Correct.
Even Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, so again, the Gemara is interested in knowing the Nevi'im during a certain period of time, which according to the Gaon is a stretched out period of time, they added halachas here to Ksiva Sefer Torah, etc., etc. How could they do that? So says the Marshal, what the Torah wants to add here is to tell you that that's beyond the authority of a Navi. Okay. Now he writes the following. Listen carefully. Nimtza im hayakosuv osios eilu b'sefer Torah terem chitshu anavim. What would be the status of the Sefer Torah, right, that was written before the Nevi'im? Correct? So let's say the first of the Nevi'im of Matzapach would institute the Mem. And they wrote the Mem as a Mem Sophis in the middle of the letter Shimon in a Sefer Torah. This Sefer Torah would be possible. And actually, now that the Nevi'im come along and they introduce let's say we're working with the Osios Psucho, so they introduce a Mem as a Mem Psucho, then a Sefer Torah Shenichtav Osios Acheros Possel. What he's basically saying here is Shinui Tzuras Ha'Os. In other words, now the Gemara is holding that once the Nevi'im introduced Matzapach, now the change, what word am I looking for? The substitution of a psucha for a stuma, or vice versa, becomes a shini tzuras ha'os, which I told you is one day in the Gemara in the Masechta Shabbos, is therefore the Sefer Torah that was written 5 minutes before the Navi is now becomes possible. And if that be the case, we are in violation of the principle of Ein Navi Rashay L'Chadish Davar Me'ata. The Navi doesn't have this ability to paskin that Sefer Torah is possible. But Rabosa, do you imagine what's going on here? In other words, obviously the Gemara is rejecting this, but just think about the Havamim. The Havamim was that all the Sefer Torah that were written up until a certain point in history now become possible. I mean, is that like as wild as you can get? You know,
and would people retroactively be chayav for having written
For non-fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sefer Torah? I don't know if there's a mitzvah of writing a pasuk Sefer Torah.
No, I'm saying on Shabbos for having written Shimon.
Oh. So that's that.
Then they didn't write it because it just changed afterwards and found out that they
exactly
didn't write it.
So then there would be no Hasra, right? You need Eidim and Hasra. Hasra, they didn't have.
What if somebody was punished for it?
Well, again, what we're saying now is we're holding that Tzashini Tzurisa, so he wouldn't be punished for that.
Right. But somebody who was before, it was they were punished incorrectly.
No, because it would have been the whole word.
I don't know. You're right. You're right. Now, finally, before we turn the page and we get to Rav Chisda is analyzing the Shtei Luchos Abris. We have here a Chiddush from Tosfos, which is not in our Tosfos. It's quoted by the Rishonim that there's one Machlokes Masechta the Sanhedrin that says that Ezra HaSofer introduced a change in the Ksav. So, you know, there are two types of writings in Lashon Kodesh. There's Ksav Ivri, Ksav Ashuri. So Tosfos asks the following question. What gives Ezra the authority to do so as a result of changing the Ksav and introducing a new alphabet? He is impacting on the Halacha. And we have a principle of Ein Novi Reshoi L'Chadish Dover V'Yadva. The Tosfos gives the answer, Kra Ashkach Vidorush, that Ezra derived it from the Psukim in the Torah. In other words, that's not considered a Chiddush Dover. It could be that until a certain point in history, we didn't understand the Psukim in the Torah and we didn't interpret the Halacha properly. Then he quotes a Rashba who says that there's a difference between adding letters to the Torah and changing the ksav of the Torah. So the changing the ksav of the Torah is not called a chidush dovah, whereas adding letters to the Torah is called a chidush dovah. I frankly I don't understand why. Okay, so Omar Rav Chisda. Now we're going to turn to Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. So we should really have a little lechayim here because we finally see what that base. Mem v'samach shevelucha. Now watch this. There are two letters in the luchos that are written in a circular or a square kind of shape, which means that there's going to be a piece of stone. They chiseled out the letters of the right. That's going to be hanging in midair.
For the second, it went all the way through. If you don't say,
it went on both sides.
Right. If you don't say, the see all the way through. There's no nes. Right.
So take a look at the mem, for example. You could say the same thing for sama. What you're doing is you're chiseling out the middle of the letter.
He will do it.
And a business says, "Bnes how you owned it." Now, let's read the pasuk in Shmos Lamed Beis Parshas Ki Tisa. It says, "Luchos Suvim Shnei Evreim Yisev Luseheim Suvim." So the otsios of both of the luchos, right? There's Shnei luchos on this, were chiseled out from one side to the other. And now Rav Chisda is telling us that if you can see the ksav from both sides, then the mem and the samach, we're talking about the, let's say for example, the samach, we're talking about a samach sophis in the luchos, had nothing to stand on. They should have just fallen apart. Right? Because he chiseled out the entire letter. So it has to be that it's finesse how you owned him, that this letter is standing, so to speak, suspended in midair with a miracle. So we see clearly from Rav Chisda that he understood that there's such a thing as a mem sophis that existed at the time the Torah was given in the Shtei Luchos HaBris. So how can Rabbi Yirmiyah say that Mansapach, correct, that the mem of Mansapach was Tzofim Amorim, that the Tzofim were the ones who introduced this. It's really not true. Now, this Kasha the Gemara is assuming that the Tzofim added the Psuchas. In other words, we knew already from the Nem Sophis, because Rav Tisna says the Nem Sophis already at the time of the Shtelus, as they're talking about in Torah, was suspended miraculously. Then it must be that at this point, the Gemara. So in the first catch we pointed out, it doesn't matter whether or not the Sophim introduced the Psuchos or the Stumos, but here the Gemara seems to assume that they introduced the Psuchos, they already knew about the Stumos. And that's a kasha. Just 1 second, maybe I got that wrong. Let me get it over again. Since the stuma, correct, that the stuma was already known at that time, and they must introduce the psuch. No, I'm sorry. Just that. No, I got it. Sorry. I'm very bad at mathematics. Okay. Now, what it means is the following, that at this point in the Gemara assumes that the Matzapach of the Nevi'im introduced the Stumo. Sorry, I said Psukh. Sorry, I'm mistaken. They introduced the Stumo.
This is the Kasha only if they introduced the Stumo.
No, only introduced the Psukh.
No, here we do the Stumo.
Because he's saying that it was the Stumo was already existing.
That's right. Exactly.
How can you tell me, that it was introduced by the Nevi'im? In other words, the Gemara now understood that it was the Nevi'im who introduced the Stumo. In fact, the Gemara, the Stumo dates back to the time of Matan Torah. That was my second kasha. So Gemara says in. I think the word in here means ein ochinam. Now, it's very interesting here that it seems that the Gemara now, and this is a little bit unusual, is analyzing the second, is answering the second question of the Gemara. Why do I say so? Because look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Mehavahavu, we knew about these letters before the Nevi'im, right? And that would answer the question for Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda already approved that they knew about the Stuma. But Lo Aviyadi, Hai Ba'emsa Teva V'Hai B'Sofa Teva. So they knew that there were two Mems. Correct, it was a Mem Psuch and a Mem Stuma, but they weren't clear, it wasn't clear in their minds, and apparently even way back at the time, whether or not the Stuma would be at the end of a letter and the Psuch in the middle of the letter, or vice versa. Now this is very, very strange, because you'd have to, again, I'm not going to do this now, but if you open up to the Aseres HaDibur, sorry, in Parshas Yisro, then you're going to see that the samach is at the end of a word. I'm sorry, mem is at the end of the word. Second. Okay, that's what we have to look at. In any event, we'll come back to this question from tomorrow, because there's a lot of discussion about this. But the Gemara says that also Tzofim v'takinu psuchim ba'emtza teva ustumim v'sofa teva. Now, why do I say that this only answers the first kasha? Because the Gemara is still going to raise the issue of ein nomi rashoi l'chadish dover, meaning again, because the Gemara is assuming now that Stuma and Psuchas is Shinui Tzuras Ha'os. Like that day in the Gemara in Shabbos, if it's a Shinui Tzuras Ha'os, then you're possibly going to say for Torah. And that's what the Gemara says in the next line, Sof, you still haven't gotten away. I can't let you off the hook, because you still didn't answer the first kasha. Because Eilat Mitzvahs Ein Novi Rasha Asim Chalish Dov Me'ata. So again, so let's see. What we can answer is the second kasha. That's the most point. If you're asking me what did the Nevi'im add that we didn't know before the Nevi'im came along, the answer is they would solve this very mysterious ambiguity as to where this Tzuras Ha'os would belong, and where this Tzuras Ha'os, where the Psucho belong, where the Stuma. This one in the middle of the table, this one at the end of the table. However, we still haven't raised the question. We still haven't responded to the question of how the Navi is going to passel a Sefer Torah. Because what happens now is, again, we had the two mems, let's say, but we didn't know where to put them. So it means if we wrote a Sefer Torah, we put the mems in the middle of the letter, then the Sofer are now passing that Sefer Torah. So it's again a violation of Ein Navi Rasha L'Chadish Torah. We're still not out in the clear. Is that how you say it, out in the clear?
In the clear.
We're not in the clear. This is the final answer to the Gemara. Namely, that Enochinami, at the time of Matan Torah, they knew exactly not only that there are two letters, but exactly where to put right two tzurasos, but exactly where to place the two tzurasos. But they forgot about it. And here, this is not considered a violation of the authority of a Navi to tell us what it was originally back in the Torah. It's very similar to what we said in the name of Tosfos with regard to Ezra, that Ezra found a way of interpreting the Torah correctly, and therefore he introduced the Shini Aksav, because he said that we were basing Aksav on an invalid way of understanding the Torah. Here too, what the Nevi'im are doing is they're saying that we've been making a major mistake over here, because you forgot what was originally a stuma and a psucha, and where each one belonged.
Well, this is why the Marsan says that, you know, it had to be that this was after the Rukhot were hidden away, because they only forgot it after they didn't have those to look at.
So is the Gemara now in its answer telling me that Shachachu means because after Yoshio HaMelech they didn't have access to the Luchos? Had they had access to the Luchos, they would have known exactly where the Psuchos were in the Stumim. But if that being the case, we're still in trouble, because before the Gemara introduces the concept of Shachachu, the Gemara said that we do understand exactly what the Nevi'im added. And why? Says the Gemara, because lo aviyadi be'emtzei teva v'sof teva. This is before Shachar. So if the Gemara is operating with the premise that that we're dealing with a post-Mizra period, then for sure we have no way. I guess you have to. It's a little bit duffy. I want to clarify this between today and tomorrow, so you'll give me a little time on this, but it seems like that the Gemara knew. The Gemara, so what was the most kashmir of this? The Gemara knew that we're talking after these.
Maybe they were trying to first see if this was a universal thing that applied even beforehand, and then in the end it turns out it was only at Kineza. In other words, maybe they were trying to find out Gemara that allowed it to be.
So when the Gemara asked the Kashmir, because the Gemara thought that this was before Kineza? And then only Shachachu means that this was after the Kineza.
Right. Because you can't say the way it seems. They had the Lepok, though. I mean, that's the whole thing.
He seems to assume that even from the beginning of the Sugya that they knew it was after Kineza.
I don't know. Maybe they figure, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I have to work this out. There's something missing in the. You can see how profound the Sugya is, and it's not even the set of the. All right, gentlemen, have a great day. Thank you.